Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events on life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Well, at the beginning of this year, there are so many issues that could be discussed. For the last few weeks, I've been focusing on the legitimacy of the election count, and I've pretty much ignored all the other signs of national corruption, such as the pork in the COVID relief bill, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats removing gender language from Congress, going all in on the LGBTQ philosophy of erasing gender, the totalitarian COVID lockdowns. You know, our politicians are pushing so many deviant policies, but I'm going to ignore all of these things and again discuss election fraud. Because even though the media has a blackout concerning any news of election fraud, this is the most important event in our times. What has happened in this election represents a complete change in our country, from a democratic republic to possibly a one-party rule. And this is how countries become communistic totalitarian states, by a group of leftists through violence and intimidation and cheating and the shutting down of free speech, take over the power of government. And of course, with the help of an indifferent citizenship. And don't think it could never happen here. The ungodly in every generation are always cheating, always pushing for big government, for totalitarian power. The ungodly people and their philosophy behind the communist Bolshevik revolution in Russia, the rise of the Nazi Party, the rise of the Communist People's Republic of China, live among us today. And it's only the Christian base in America that has held the ungodly and their ways at bay. But now we're reaching a tipping point where the wicked have sprouted up like grass and are flourishing, Psalm 92, where the wicked have risen to power, Proverbs 28, where the secular mind makes up the majority, where they control the institutions, the entertainment, the media. And if this is not stopped, what we're seeing before us and what I am chronicling in these programs is the process by which the world will enter the global reign of the Antichrist and the apocalypse, either through the fall of America into bankruptcy and moral confusion, or through war, or through America leftists pushing for a globalist agenda. We know this will happen someday. Could the beginnings of it be our day? It all starts by a greedy people, a man-centered people, removing God and his laws from the culture, by people turning to gross immoralities, by them bankrupting themselves with debt and money printing, by a people surrendering their liberties for false promises of security. And in such times, there are always a few who will work to hold on to the old ways, but they eventually are overcome by the avalanche of corrupted morals. This is what we might be experiencing in America right now. Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. This might be the bigger story that historians in the future will be writing about when they speak of our day. This election, the fraud behind it could be the turning point of our nation. We are in a culture war. And there are not many of us. Even the so-called best conservatives lack God's truth. Over Christmas, I was reading a little book that Devin Nunes put out in October, right before the election, called Countdown to Socialism. Remember, Nunes is the California Republican congressman who investigated and exposed the fraud in the Russian collusion hoax. Well, Nunes writes, "The media is the result of the political indoctrination that has taken place at universities, high schools, and even elementary schools for several decades. The media's goal is not to inform readers or to bring them crucial information. It's to persuade them to adopt the media's political views, which are socialist Democrat views. And make no mistake, power is what motivates the socialists. Their promise to instill racial harmony and to provide unaffordable, undeliverable free goods and services are a ruse to achieve power, seize the control of the economy, and dictate what you can and cannot do in your personal life. practically speaking, there is not much difference between socialism, fascism, communism, and other kinds of totalitarianism. They all share a common goal: total government power over the individual. And this is all good stuff, but like most conservatives, this is where Nunes falls short. He sees it all as simply a fight between individual autonomy or the rule by an elite few. But that's not our core problem. Our problem is rooted in an abandonment of God's law, the abandonment of the doctrine of the Christian state. The solution is that the people must submit to the higher law of God, to return to the belief that the state is to be under the law of God. But for these ungodly libertarians, for leftists, and even for many conservatives, it's simply about human autonomy. So Nunes ends his book with giving no solution to the problem. The only solution he even alludes to is that we need to support alternative media. So therefore, it's just an information problem, not a sin and rebellion against God problem. So what we're experiencing in America right now is the abandonment of God at all levels. And this election and the fraud behind it is just one small part of that bigger picture. We are in a truth war. And now we understand what the prophets of God meant when they said about ancient Israel in her final days. Isaiah 59, your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and they bring forth iniquity. Now we know what this means because we're seeing it in our own country. John MacArthur, the American stalwart evangelical pastor in California, now at age 81, just put out a statement in a blog called The World Gone Mad. Quote, we shudder to think how society could degrade into further corruption, darkness, and disarray. And yet the world keeps finding new lows to which it too willingly sinks. On top of the endless chaos surrounding us, our society is drowning in a sea of lies, such that the culture is permeated by a sense of devastating insecurity. We no longer have confidence in politicians, health experts, social activists, academics, or the media. All of them have lost credibility by pursuing agendas over honesty. Even religious leaders have shown a knack for doublespeak and outright deception when it suits their purposes. Unquote John MacArthur. Well, that's an Isaiah 59 situation. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion. They speak lies. And in verse 13 of chapter 59, transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the streets and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw it, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. So we see this kind of behavior in our own day. Imagine what it must have looked like in the ancient world. Israel, though it was a very tiny nation with just a couple million, had corrupt leadership who took bribes, who operated on personal benefit rather than principle. Immorality was rampant. Faith in God was just a religious show, just a way to appease the gods for supernatural help. So people haven't really changed. The same corrupt nature that was in those ancient Israelites is in our leadership today. The only reason it has ever been otherwise is because of conversion and new birth. Men who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, who have the Spirit of Christ within them, have led this nation with divine motivations. You know, imagine if we didn't have in this battle against election fraud people like Rudy Giuliani, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, Matthew Brainerd, the Voter Integrity Project, the Amistad Group, and conservative media. You know, at this moment, there are 14 senators and 140 congressmen who are going to contest these election results. But imagine if those people didn't exist. As the Lord tells Jeremiah, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I found no one. Without righteous people, evil would take over immediately. We would be living in a dark, dystopian, totalitarian state. There would not be a great life like the left claims. there would be bondage and poverty. And this is why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. The you being referred to there are those who are poor in spirit, the gentle, those who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. After describing the character of his people, Jesus then goes on to tell them that they're the only ones holding this world together. So this was all by way of introduction. Now I want to cover some more news about the fraud in this election. President Trump last week tweeted out plenty of more facts to come. And so that's what I'm going to entitle this program, Plenty of More Facts to Come. And that statement goes way beyond this election situation. Because in regard to all the sins of this world, plenty of more facts are still to come. Because Judgment Day is coming, and Romans chapter 2, verse 16, on the day when God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Implying that there is much sin in this world that is being kept hidden, but will someday be uncovered. Ultimately, at the final judgment, but to show man's sin, God often uncovers much of the evil even in our own day. Notice Paul's counsel to Timothy that sin will eventually be exposed. 1 Timothy 5, the sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. For others, their sins follow after. Likewise also, the deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise not good cannot be concealed. Eventually, everything comes to the light. And all the fraud in this election will eventually come out. You know, cheaters can't flip votes and create fake ballots without these irregularities being noticed. The operatives plotting to do this hope that no one would see the inconsistencies. Things like more votes than voters registered, or mail-in ballots with phony addresses, or Trump's reported votes going down, not up, which never happens to a candidate, and many other anomalies. You know, this is all now being exposed. Now, the plan on the left is to bury these stories, simply claim they're not true. There doesn't even need to be a coordinated effort to do this because so many people are willing to ignore the corruption because it results in what they want. The Democrats controlling the administration. So for those who haven't heard the evidences for fraud, let me cover the latest news. President Trump and his rally in Georgia laid out some of the numbers, but it was kind of confusing, so here it is in short. Even before finding hard evidence of election fraud, the results themselves show that something was amiss. For example, the fact that the Republicans won 25 of the 26 House seat races, Democrats lost 14 seats in the House, and yet the Republicans lost the presidency. That's very unusual historically. Then there's also the bellwether counties and states. There have been certain bellwether counties that have been perfect in predicting who would win the presidency for the last 40 years because these counties have demographics that match the entire country. And in this election, Trump won 18 of the 19 bellwether counties, and yet he still lost a general election. That's very strange. Then there are the bellwether states. If a candidate wins Ohio, which represents the pulse of the nation, he will likely win the presidency. And if he wins Ohio and Iowa, the chances of winning the White House is even greater. But if a candidate wins Ohio, Iowa, North Carolina, and Florida, he always wins the White House. But Trump won all four states and lost the presidency. Why? Well, a possible explanation is a hashtag created by Kevin McCullough. Hashtag pick six, cheat big, Joe did. In other words, the Democrats picked six cities with Democrat machines that would not be accountable to the people, and you could cheat there. They all stopped counting at night and injected the fake votes that they needed to win. And this is why these cities are outliers in the election results. Well, a second really big evidence of fraud is the jump in Biden votes and the decreases in Trump votes. Now, remember, votes for a candidate never go down in an election, but they did for Donald Trump. Here's an article. Over 432,000 votes removed from Trump in Pennsylvania, data scientists say. This was an investigation done by the Data Integrity Group. This is not a group of amateurs, but a serious group of data scientists, which includes Justin Mealy and David Lopp. Mealy is a 9-year veteran of the U.S. Navy. He worked as an electronic warfare technician, cryptological technician, and Arabic linguist. He worked at the NSA as a mission manager, later worked as a CIA contractor. David Loeb has a 12-year experience in data science and machine learning across financial services, telecommunications, and research consulting industries. He currently specializes in artificial intelligence applications. So these men are experts in their field. And in the report, they show that there were over 432,000 votes removed from President Donald Trump in Pennsylvania in at least 15 counties. Quote, time series election data shows Trump's votes going down in various counties at numerous times instead of increases as would be expected under normal circumstances. In Allegheny County, we see in the graph that Trump's votes dropped by 22,000. And in Chester County, Trump's votes dropped numerous times. So what's the explanation for all this? Well, the election officials aren't providing any explanation. And the Data Integrity Group also testified in Georgia's Judiciary Committee hearing last week dealing with election fraud. The group began by pointing out that 90% for a candidate in a precinct is an indication of fraud. And in Fulton County, Georgia, 150 precincts had 90% or more for Biden. Okay, so maybe Biden's very popular. But then in those counties, 113,000 ballots were adjudicated by a voter review panel to determine how the voter intended to vote. According to the Data Integrity Group, having 113,000 ballots go to adjudication is unprecedented. Machines don't make that many mistakes. So, okay, well, maybe the Dominion voting machines weren't calibrated right to scan properly. Well, then the Voter Integrity Group showed the vote switching that went on in many counties. In Putnam County, Trump went negative 5,935 votes. And throughout the night, totals were being removed from Trump and given to Biden. In Dougherty County, 17,650 votes were removed from Trump. Well, so okay, all of the counters in these counties made the mistake of putting votes for Biden in Trump's totals and had to take them back. Well, you know, sorry, at this point, it looks like fraud. The data group went on to explain how this could happen. The precinct's votes are put on an SD card and transported to a warehouse where the information is downloaded into tabulation software called Democracy Suites. This is then exported to a Dominion server and the SCIDL election night reporting server. It's then sent to the networks. But during this process, poll data entry people have the option in the software to create new batches of votes, to reject batches of votes, to validate batches of votes, and to publish batches. Anyone working in the election software has the power to manipulate the votes, even before it's uploaded to the server. Now, before this hearing in Georgia was also another expert, Javon Pulitzer. He claimed with his expertise in scanning and in paper, he could detect if Georgia ballots were genuine. And the Senate committee gave him the authority to look into and audit the ballots in Fulton County. Well, a week has gone by and Fulton County officials have not allowed this audit to take place. Now, you've probably already heard that there was a signature audit in Cobb County that showed that the signatures were valid and there was no cheating. Well, no observers were allowed to view this audit. This was an audit of only a small hand-picked sample of ballots. The Trump team wanted to audit Fulton County, where the real problem exists, but the election officials refused. And besides, the corruption is most likely not in the signatures, but in the tabulator switching votes. Now, in this hearing in Georgia, other poll workers testified that it was bizarre that the military vote went 93% for Biden, that many of the mail-in ballots were not folded, so how could they go through the mail? And many of the bubbles were too perfectly filled in. So what does Georgia's Secretary of State, Raffensperger, a Republican, say about all of these accusations? Well, he called the hearing a tsunami of disinformation. And Raffensperger is another big story of this week. Trump called him to investigate the vote, and Raffensperger recorded the call and sent it to the Washington Post, which may actually be illegal. And the Post spun the story as Trump was pressuring Georgia's Secretary of State to make up votes for him. You know, you'd think Raffensperger would at least look into the evidence and give some answer, at least to the evidence found by the Data Integrity Project. But strangely, he just ignores the evidence. And the Trump team was able to audit voting machines in Michigan, but they were denied permission to audit the machines in Georgia. Instead, Georgia had its own company audit the machines, ProVNV, which was the same company that validated the machines in the first place. So there really has been no independent audit. Something's amiss here. And it's no wonder there's a huge rally in Washington this week called Stop the Steal. And the mainstream press has gone silent on all this to support Biden. Facebook, this last week, shut down a Facebook group called Stop the Steal with 360,000 members. Now note, the Democrat Facebook group opposing President Trump and his election results 4 years ago was untouched by Facebook. The founder of this Facebook page, Amy Creamer, the co-founder of Women for Trump, said that before it was shut down, Facebook flagged almost every post as being false, and several media outlets were calling for this page to be deplatformed. Media Matters wrote an article with the headlines, "Right-wing influencers are using the hashtag #StopTheSteal hashtag to help Trump's attempts to undercut democracy." Rolling Stone stated that the group was spreading dangerous misinformation. Mother Jones published an article entitled, "A Massive Stop the Count Facebook Group Has Ties to Republican Operatives." Well, we're in a culture war. And that's what this election controversy is all about. Two different kingdoms, two different worldviews. It's the sheep versus the goats, the righteous versus the wicked. And we know that eventually God will win and truth will prevail. But before that day comes, the battle is going to be intense. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that his time is short." All I can say is make sure that in the end, you find yourself on God's side. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. You may want to check that out and subscribe. May God give you the strength to stand in the evil day for His glory and for His kingdom. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the battle on earth against King Jesus rages in so many different ways. We ask you, Lord, to save us from our adversaries, that your name and your power be exalted. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.